I'll turn again then in God's Word to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. As we think about this, we should think about what bread is. We all know what literal bread is. But in this petition, we're not just asking God to give us different types of bread. It's for all of our food. The word bread in the scriptures can be used for our food. But sometimes people are quite quick to spiritualize this petition. Those early fathers, particularly in the patristic and also the medieval period of the church, they were quite quick to spiritualize the scriptures. I think it's a danger, even here in our own island, of jumping too quickly to find a spiritual truth behind literal words. The early fathers, of course, I'll give you some examples. They jumped from wood. If they saw the word wood in the scripture, they quite quickly thought of the cross of Christ made out of wood. But when the word wood is used, it just means wood. It means what comes from a tree. And the same here with bread. Sometimes people jump very quickly to Jesus, who is the bread of life. Or they jump to the Lord's Supper, which we enjoyed last week, the bread which is broken for you. But there's no need for us to jump that way. When it says here, give us this day our daily bread, Jesus means that we should pray for our daily provision of food. But at the same time, we can go a little wider than that. What we need on a day-to-day basis is wider than just what we eat. It includes our clothing. It includes what we need in our houses, and so on and so forth. What provision do we need? Well, that is what we are to pray for. And we are to pray for it, as we'll see in a few moments. But notice there the order of this Lord's Prayer. We've seen before the first three petitions are Godward, and the last three are manward. Not in the sense of being man-centered, but being more towards man. But it is after the first three that we turn to ask for our daily bread. It is after calling God our Father in heaven, after reverencing His name, after praying for His kingdom to come and for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that does not mean, as I've said before, that literally we have to go through those three petitions before we may ever ask for anything. There are times in which we must cry out to God a quick prayer for provision. But it does speak to us of our priorities. It does speak to the overall balance of our prayers. Is your prayer to God like a shopping list, in which you have written down all that you want God to give you? Or does your prayer focus on His interests first? This is the fourth petition, because our interests must come subordinate to the interests of God's kingdom. There is a humility here that we come to God to give to us. You see, some people may object. Why should we pray for God to give us our daily bread when I'm the one that goes out to work in the morning? I'm the one who earns the wage, and I come and I buy in the shops what I need. Or I cook for myself what I eat. What's the point of praying before your meal, of asking a blessing and giving thanks? We have to remember that God owns all things in the world. And He does give to us the right to use and to possess. There are things which we do own, but it's owning them as stewards. God has the right at any time to take away anything from you and from me. He can take away our health. He can take away our strength. He can take away our money, our finances. He can take away whatever He has given. And we should say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because we're recognizing that it belongs to God. God holds the title deed for everything that's in your possession. yes, in the eyes of the world, you own things. And that's right and proper. But God is the one with the title deed. He may take away things from you, friends. He may take away things that you hold dear. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. All that we have is a gift from God. And we are accountable for how we use it as stewards, as servants. Imagine it this way. If your parents were to give you some money and they were to say, I want you to use this wisely and properly, and you can maybe save some, you can maybe spend with some, you'd be accountable to your parents. They would ask you, what did you do with that money which I gave you? How did you use it? If you've spent it all on sweets or something that's unhealthy for you, they may say, that's not a very good thing to do with your money. Should you not have used it more wisely? And so it is with God. God has given out of his treasury so much to us. Everything that we own is his. We are accountable for how we use it. But friends, I think that perhaps we are too self-confident. We're too confident in our own strength of providing for ourselves. Let me just ask you, when you work and you earn, have you prayed to God that he would give you your daily bread? When you go out fishing, do you pray that the Lord would provide for you? When you plant, do you pray that the Lord would give the increase? Or is it very much, I earn, I work, I fish, I caught, I planted, and I harvested? You see, are you praying? Well, that will determine whether you give thanks to the Lord. It's God who gives to you. Yes, you may have strength for now, but God gave you that strength in order to work hard. You've brought nothing into the world, and you'll take nothing away from it. That shows you just how little you actually own at the end of the day. You bring nothing and you take nothing. In between, everything you have is a gift of God. But sadly, in our world today, very few people think that way. Very few people think that they have a need to trust in the Lord for daily provision. Most people get on with their day-to-day work without a second thought that there's someone else who's opening his hand on a daily basis to give them good things. Little thought that the Lord is sending the sun and the rain. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We're not thinking those ways. And that's why it's important for us who have faith, Christian people, to always give thanks. If you're out at a restaurant and you're eating, don't be an atheist. You pray in your homes. You give thanks for your food in your homes. Do it in a public place. Now, that's not being a Pharisee. That's not being a hypocrite. They stood in the street corners. They stood in order to be seen. But friends, there's a difference between standing to be seen and also trying, and on the other hand, hiding away our faith. No, give thanks, even if you're in a public place, for your food. There's nothing sadder than to see families gathering around meals at restaurants and not praying, not giving thanks to God for these things. God gives. But then there's another extreme that we can fall into, and that is to deny second causes. It's to deny the way God works. It's to go to the extreme of only praying. Perhaps you've met someone this way, who says, well, I depend upon the Lord, and I pray, and the Lord gives. But there are people perhaps who don't work, or people who don't plan, people who aren't very wise in their stewardship, people who aren't thinking ahead towards the future. They say, well, I don't need to make plans for the future. I don't need to try to plan financially for my family. I just pray, and I depend upon the Lord. And quite often you hear people say things like that, and it sounds very spiritual, and it sounds like those people have great faith. And maybe they are spiritual people, and maybe they do have faith. But I don't think that faith is correctly anchored. Because the Lord has appointed that, yes, we pray for our daily provision, but we also work for our daily provision. The two go together. The way in which we receive is through second causes. It's through means. It's through going to work. Remember how the Thessalonians were rebuked. For if a man is not willing to work, he is not worthy to eat. If he's not prepared to do the hard work of preparing, of providing for his family, then he shouldn't be provided for from the church's funds. Or think about the Proverbs. Think about how often we're exhorted not to be lazy. Go to the ant, you sluggard. We all know what ants are like. They're very busy, very industrious. Go to them and you'll learn a spiritual lesson. Or perhaps my favourite proverb, the lazy man buries the hand in the bowl and it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. You can picture that, can't you? Someone puts his hand down, maybe with a spoon, to eat something from the food, and then after he gets his hand down, he just thinks, I'm too tired to lift a spoon back up to my mouth. That man is a fool. He's a lazy man. And we're exhorted in the scriptures to work hard. There is no contradiction between praying, give us this day our daily bread, and also going out hard to work, that God would provide for us through those means. It was Benedict, one of the monks in the medieval period, who had a Latin phrase, ora et labora. I think I've said that to you before. Pray and work. The two go together. The two go hand in hand. Notice, though, first of all, it's pray. Pray first, but then also work. And while you work, pray. The two must go together. Friends, to just work is to be a practical atheist. It's to deny that these things come from God. But on the other hand, to just pray is to be lazy and to be foolish. And the scripture warns us against that. Pray and work. And what is the prayer? It's give us this day our daily bread. Give to us what we need for this day, for today, for the needs that are ahead of me this day. That doesn't mean that we can't pray for the future. That doesn't mean that we can't pray for needs which are looming on the horizon. But it means that we must pray every day for the needs of that day. Give to me today what I need. You see, some people may think I can pray at the start of the week for the week ahead, and that's me done. I've prayed that the Lord would provide, and now I just leave it to him. But no, Jesus here is calling us to daily faith. That each day as you begin the day, you're asking him, provide for me, provide for my family, provide for our church what we need. That's a constant dependence upon God. And because we're focusing here on praying for today's need, it means that we're developing contentment. We're not seeking to gain riches, vast riches. We're seeking what we need, a competent portion, as our catechism speaks of. We read from Proverbs 30, Agur's prayer there. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies from me. That's the first request. Remove those. But give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Now, I think many people would pray something similar to the first part. Give me not poverty. When people find themselves poor and in need, they may be quick to pray to God to give them what they need. But how many of us pray that second prayer? Give me neither poverty nor riches. Why would he pray that? Well, he says, lest I be fool and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord. You see, there's a wisdom in this, is there not? If I'm too poor, I may end up doing something wrong, stealing in order to get my food. But on the other hand, if I'm too rich, just like the Israelites who came into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They had everything that they needed, and they forgot that God had given them the land. They lived in houses which they did not build. They had out of the vineyard that they did not plant, and they forgot God. Who is the Lord? There's a warning to us there. But the prayer is that we would have a competent portion, that we would have a sufficient portion, that we would have contentment with what God gives us. You see, friends, we can be very good at asking for more and more and more and more. But are we seeking contentment in what the Lord gives? It's actually by praying this prayer on a daily basis that we develop contentment. Asking God to provide for today's needs helps me learn to be content with what God provides on a daily basis. Prayer is a means of grace. And we do learn contentment by praying faithfully. Now, that doesn't mean when we say, don't give me poverty or riches, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong necessarily with having money. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with being prosperous or rich. There were many men of God in the scriptures who had much. Think of Job, for example. He had everything that he wanted, everything that he needed, and more. And even though the Lord humbles him and takes away from him, what happens at the end of the story? God gives him more back than he had at the start. There's nothing morally wrong with being rich. But the question is, are we content with what we have? And are we praying that God would give us what we need? You may be rich. You're not like many of the poor souls in foreign countries, in famine, in war areas, who have nothing. We have plenty, but we still must pray that the Lord would give. But there is much discontentment in our world. People look at the adverts that they see and they just realize that they don't have enough. They need the newest invention. They need the next model. It doesn't matter that they bought a new phone within the year. This new one promises them much more. It has two new features more than the old one. Therefore, they want it. You see, they're not content. They're idolizing more and more things. Our prayer must be for a sufficient portion. We should be content. Beware, friends, of putting idols center stage in your heart, particularly possessions or things. Remember what the man in the parable did. He spoke to himself and he said, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God had a different assessment. God said, "You fool, this night your soul will be required of you." You see, people think that they can get more and more and more, tear down the barns and build bigger ones. But God can take it all away in a moment. And Christian, beware of particularly of idols that you set up. There's things that you're holding far too dearly to you. Because God may, just to teach you a lesson, remove it. He may take away that which is so dear to you, so that you learn not to do that. It would be a hard lesson to learn, and yet it's one which he often does. But there is a challenge then also for those of you that aren't Christians. You perhaps are idolizing things. You want possessions. You want more and more. You're not content with what God has chosen to give to you. And you think, presumptuously, that by your labor in this world that you can get more and more. You think that by going to work and by saving away, you can go on nice holidays or buy nice things. God may take your soul away from you tonight. Friends, not one of us is guaranteed another hour on this earth. Who knows which one of us will be the first to be cast into eternity? It's a very solemn thought for us to be laying up for the future. We don't even know if we'll have that future. God says, speak in the way of saying, "The Lord willing." If the Lord wills, I will go and do such and such. If the Lord wills, I'll trade in this city or in that city. Friends, do you have that sense of Lord willing in your life? Or are you living for yourself? It's an important question. But then notice also the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. It's a corporate prayer. It's not give me my daily bread, although that's something we'll have to pray in occasions. When we're praying individually, we must pray for our own needs. But it teaches us that when we pray corporately, that we're praying for our needs, the needs of those around us, the needs of the Church of Christ. You see, this is a kingdom prayer after all. It's focused on God's kingdom. So should we not have a focus on the needs of those who are fellow citizens in this kingdom? Should we not have a love for those around us who are in Christ's kingdom? When we see someone hungry, should we not be willing to feed them? When we see someone in need of hospitality, should we not be willing to give hospitality to them? But at the same time, don't fall into the trap of just providing. Also, we should pray for that person. You see, sometimes it's easier just to give. If you see someone hungry, it's easy just to give them a piece of food. We've got loads of food. But do we pray for that person? Think about, for example, I should say, first of all, the deacons, this is, there's only one here tonight, but the deacons, this is part of your responsibility. Because you are leading in the ministries of mercy. Deacons are to be identifying needs in the congregation and helping provide for those needs. But that doesn't mean that the deacons are the only ones that provide. It means they help us in order to do that. But also help us to pray for these things. We don't just provide. It's easy to give food, but also we must pray. Let me give you a couple of examples. The deacons have identified some needs in our congregation. When we've had benevolence collections in the past for particular causes, that to us is a red flag. It shows to us that someone is in need. It's a prompt to us to act, to give, in order to relieve some sense of poverty. But friends, do we also pray? You see, give us this day our daily bread. It's easy to put money in the plate, but are we praying also for that person in their need? That the Lord would bless them with what they need. And that the Lord would bless them through the hardship that they find themselves in. Or think about how the deacons have identified a need for property in the congregation. It's easy to put money into the plate again. It helps towards meeting the need. But are we praying that the Lord would provide us with the property? And that's surely a need that is included here. Give us this day our daily bread. It's something we must be praying as a congregation, that he would lead us to the buildings which we need. These should be in our prayers as we pray one for the other. Give us this day. And there are other prayers also, as we think about each other's needs, as you identify how people struggle in various ways. Prayer is not to be self-centered. It's not to be about me, myself, and I. It's not just to be about me and my family. It's to be about all of us praying for our needs. But as we pray in this way, give us this day our daily bread, it requires humility. To pray this prayer properly, we must come humbly, kneeling before God, admitting that he, acknowledging his providence over all things, acknowledging his fatherly wisdom, his goodness, acknowledging his ability to provide and his willingness to give, but also on the side of man to acknowledge our need, our frailty, our weakness, our inability to provide for ourselves. The fact of our sin, which has brought the curse upon us, that labor is now hard, that there are weeds and thorns in the world, and that we can't always have what we want. We come to God humbly. He is high, he is exalted, but he's willing to provide. And we stand as needy people. God can remove gifts as well from us. That adds another level of humility to our prayer. As we come asking him for something, we're recognizing that he alone has the right to give it. But we're also recognizing that he has the right to remove it. If he gives it to us for a season and then takes it away again. This prayer also implies thankfulness. That if we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we must also thank God for our daily bread. He has given us bread for yesterday and the day before. He has given us bread for today. We're to pray for bread for tomorrow. But are we giving thanks for what has gone on in the past? And then also, as we pray this way, we're recognizing our need to be good stewards of what God gives. If we're asking God for provision, the question is, why are you asking for it? How will you use it? If you're asking God for financial provision, how will you use it to His glory and to His honour? The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to Him. He is the owner of all the gold and all the earth. If He chooses to give you some in answer to your prayer, how will you use it? Will you use it to bless other people? Will you use it to help them in their needs? Will you use it to open up avenues of service, to bless the church? If you ask for health, if that's your prayer tonight, that the Lord would return strength to you or take away an illness from you, why are you asking for that? Is it that you may be able to serve God in a new way, or to restore serving God in a way that you're no longer able to do it? You see, we must ask ourselves about our motivation behind our prayers. All too often we are man-centered instead of thinking about the needs of the kingdom. This fourth petition here, it's not very difficult to understand. It's not very difficult to understand what it means to ask God to give us things. We're so used to doing it. We're far too used to doing it. But understanding how to do it rightly in all these ways, that's a difficult thing. Humbling ourselves to the point that we're willing to ask God day by day to give us that which we formerly thought we could provide for ourselves, that's a difficult thing. And so Jesus here teaches us that we are to be seeking that the Lord would provide for us through prayer, day by day. So let us learn to follow in these ways. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Our gracious Lord God, we are thankful that all that we have comes from Your hand, and that You know what we need. You know our needs before we even ask for them. And often to our shame, You give to us despite the fact that we haven't asked You. That we haven't asked You for our daily bread. Oh Lord, we pray that we would have such faith that we would depend upon You day by day. And we long, oh God, that You would give to us contentment. That we would not seek to idolize the things of this world. But that we would seek after godliness. Help us to use that which You have given us to Your glory and to Your honor. We pray, O Lord God, that we would not use it just for our own ends and for our own purposes, but help us to identify what would be of benefit to the kingdom of Christ. And we ask, O Lord God, that You would remove from us all self-confidence, that we would think that we provide for ourselves. Make us more dependent upon You in prayer. And all we ask is in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close by singing from Psalm 145. The second version of the Psalm. Psalm 145. The second version. And we'll sing from verse 15 to verse 21. I'm particularly noticing verses 15 and 16. The eyes of all things, Lord, attend and on Thee wait that here do live. And that simply means that the eyes are looking towards God, expectantly, looking for His provision. And Thou in season due dost send sufficient food them to relieve. Yea, Thou Thine hand dost open wide, and everything doth satisfy that lives, and doth on earth abide. of thy great liberality, of thy great goodness, your provision. Now, it's easy to know these things. We very quickly admit what we have comes from God. But it's much more difficult to really believe these things on a day-by-day, case-by-case basis. That our eyes would be looking to God more and more in faith, that he would open his hand and would provide for us. Give us this day our daily bread. So we'll sing from verse 15 to the end of the psalm and stand to sing praise to God.
The eyes of all things are at end, and on thee will that hear thee, and thou insist and turn us into
of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.